the temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was fed by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Claire. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Trust shows itself in so many different ways. We can show trust by giving someone an opportunity. Taking a sabbatical gave Rachel the opportunity to take on the lead role here. I took a sabbatical because I had complete trust in Rachel and the wardens and leadership team. Although when the film Bob the Inflatable Vicar was shown on my final Sunday, just before the sabbatical started, I did have a tiny moment of doubt. So if you weren't here then, or you want to see the clip again, it's very amusing. Ask Rachel at the end of the service and she'll be able to show you the YouTube clip. We can trust someone with our property, trust someone with our car, trust someone to look after our children, trust someone with how we are really feeling, with our problems and vulnerabilities. Trust, just like our faith, has many different levels. And trust is a journey we have to choose to embrace. Now, today is the first Sunday of the church season of Lent. Lent is the period of 40 days, which comes before Easter in the Christian calendar. Beginning on Ash Wednesday, it's a season of reflection and preparation before the celebrations of Easter. And by observing the 40 days of Lent, Christians replicate Jesus' sacrifice and withdrawal into the desert for 40 days, which we heard about in our reading from Luke this morning. And if you add up the days from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday, you'll discover it's more than 40 days, because the 40 days doesn't include counting the Sundays. Our reading began. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. So what had happened just before Jesus was led into the wilderness? Well, he had been baptized in the River Jordan. Now, I had the huge privilege of visiting the River Jordan at the beginning of February and the opportunity to renew my baptismal vows right there in the river. I have to say, I really wanted to go completely under the water as Jesus would have done at his baptism, but the travel plans wouldn't allow for that. They wouldn't let me get back on the coach with complete dripping clothes. So I just had to have water poured over my head. But it was a really special, quite emotional moment as the water touched my forehead and I was really aware of God's presence. Now, there are a number of adults who are going to be baptized here in CSK during the season of Easter. And there's the opportunity to be baptized by full immersion or by having water poured upon you. So if you'd like to be baptized or indeed to renew your baptism vows, and you haven't already let Rachel know, please do speak to her or speak to me. We're going to be finalizing the date this coming week. So this is how Luke records the baptism of Jesus. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Jesus knew who he was. He knew his identity. He knew that he was completely and utterly loved by the Father, that the Father was pleased with him. Do you know who you are? Do you know that you are a son or a daughter of the Creator of the world, who knit you together in your mother's womb, who knows everything that there is to know about you, who loves you unconditionally? If you take only one thing home from this talk today, please take home the truth that you are loved. The most important truth that I was reminded of again and again during my sabbatical is the truth that I am loved. My identity isn't the vicar of CSK Hampton Church. My identity is that I am a child of the living God. And the first calling on my life isn't to lead this church. The first and most important calling on my life is that I'm a follower of Jesus. And that's your identity and the most important calling on your life as well. We are children of the living God, called to follow Jesus. Jesus knew his primary calling when he was led into the wilderness after his baptism to follow the will of his Father. He knew who he was. He knew his identity. And there in the desert, he was tested in the area of trust by the devil. You see, the devil, Satan, he is real. He's not a red character with a forked tail as often depicted in cartoons. You only have to switch on the news to discover that the presence of evil is real in our world. The devil's number one aim is to stop people from becoming followers of Jesus and to sow doubts into the hearts and minds of Christians about the love of God, and to especially sow doubts in the area of trust. He doesn't want us to trust God. Satan's aim is to distract us, to take us from God's presence, take us from God's plans and purposes for our lives. When Jesus was tested in the desert in the area of trust, he didn't stumble blindly into these tests. He was prepared for them. Alone for 40 days in the wilderness through prayer and fasting, Jesus built intimacy by communing with his Father. He entered the desert full of the Holy Spirit, acting not in his own strength, but in the power of the Spirit. And by the end of those 40 days of strengthening his trust in the Father, Jesus was ready for everything that the devil threw at him. His response to Satan's three offers was basically, I trust God, and I won't mistrust him by taking matters into my own hands, trusting you instead, or trying to test God. Jesus beat the devil with trust. Jesus knew who he belonged to. He knew the scriptures, and he believed and trusted the promises there. If you want to build unshakable trust in God, you have to let him teach you intimacy and dependency. Intimacy and dependency come only through personal knowledge and encounter. I, nor anyone else, can give you those things. Your intimacy and dependency on God can only come from you spending time alone with him. King David said these words in Psalm 9. Those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. You see, God doesn't expect us to build trust in him blindly without knowing his character. He doesn't expect us to build trust on just what we've heard about him. He wants us to build trust on personal knowledge. See, the Bible reveals to us that every aspect of God's nature and character proves his trustworthiness and invites our trust. For example, God cannot lie. When Paul opens his letter to Titus, he introduces himself as Paul, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. All God has in him is true. He doesn't lie or mislead, and therefore everything he says and does can be fully trusted. This aspect of God's nature is often difficult for us to accept because we have the ability to lie, mislead, and deceive ourselves and others. And we naturally project this onto God. Our experiences can make us not trust his promises because family members, friends, work colleagues may have lied to us, misled us, made us promises and let us down. We may have trusted someone with a confidential piece of information about ourselves, and they went and shared it with someone else. We ask someone if they can help us by doing a task, and they say they will, and then they don't do it. Someone may have promised to get us a certain item or take us to a certain place, and maybe for very genuine reasons, they're unable to fulfill that promise. Trust can take years to build, seconds to break, and take a very long time to repair. And we then imagine that God is the same as the parent who didn't keep their promise, or the person who didn't do what they said they'd do, or the person who betrayed our confidence. We think that God will let us down. He won't keep to his promises. But God is faithful. We can trust that God's word is true because he doesn't lie. Because he's a perfect, loving, and kind father. Many of us grow up with a picture of God as angry, frustrated, and disappointed in us. We think that God must be irritated with us, because we'd be irritated with us. It's difficult to accept that he really is as unconditionally loving and kind as he is, especially when we get in touch with our own brokenness and sin. God repeatedly invites us to draw close to him, to receive his love and kindness, which naturally inspire our trust. Psalm 13 says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness in prayer. He wasn't distracted by busyness. How much time do we spend seeking God's presence, his guidance, being filled with his Spirit? Do we live our lives as if we are who God says that we are? Or do we believe the enemy's lies? And the enemy's tactics are often very subtle. I don't like this acronym, but I know it can so often be true. Busy, being under Satan's yoke. How often does time praying or reading the Bible or simply sitting still in God's presence, even just for 5 minutes, get squeezed out because we're just so busy with so many, often non-essential things? We spend hours overstimulating our minds on computers or mobile phones or watching TV, so we can't hear God speaking to us. We can't tune into his promptings. If you currently don't get into God's word each day, can I encourage you to start? Perhaps with the Lent Pilgrim app, which you can put on your phone. There's a few of the Lent Pilgrim booklets left. They're on the Chimes counter out there. The suggested donation is £2, but if you haven't got £2, please take one with our love. I read this in the UCB daily reading notes this week. Those Bible reading notes are also free, and you can get them sent via email each day. This is what I read. A surgeon in a large city hospital had a habit of insisting on a few minutes alone before he performed an operation. He had an outstanding reputation. And one of the young doctors who worked with him wondered if there might be a correlation between this habit of spending time alone and the man's success. He asked the surgeon about it and he answered, "Yes, before each operation, I ask the great physician to guide my hands in their work. There have been times when I didn't know what to do next in a surgery, and then came the power to go on. Power I knew came from God. I would not think of performing an operation without asking his help." The surgeon's words quickly spread through the hospital, then across the country. One day a father brought his daughter to the hospital, insisting that the only doctor he would allow to touch her was the one who worked with God. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Note that it doesn't say use your understanding. It says don't lean on it. Instead, lean on God. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Get in his presence, and the peace of God will remind you, I'm still here. Once we've invited Jesus into our lives to be our Lord and Saviour, he promises to always be with us. Does that mean that life is going to always be easy? Not at all. We've already acknowledged that there's an enemy at work, and we live in a broken world. We will all face storms. We will all have challenges in our lives. Jesus wants us to surrender to him and his will. And the beauty of surrender is that when you lay down your mess, your hands are then free to pick up God's rest. Because the one who captures us in surrender is the one who sets us free. And in the surrender, you're empowered to trust him more. Your Heavenly Father knows that your job is stressing you out, that you're struggling with that relationship, that you're bogged down with those health challenges, that you're grieving that loss, that your finances are upside down, that you need a new job. He knows the longings of your heart. He knows what you need. What would happen if every morning you woke up and decided to rest, reflect with God, engage with God, surrender to God, trust God? Can you imagine living with that kind of faith and trust? That is exactly what the Lord is inviting you into. He's inviting all of us into his rest. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." We're not alone, not ever, because God won't let go. Though we may struggle with the lies that he's left us fending for ourselves in hard times, his word is filled with reminders that he fights for us today. It never says this life will be easy. He never promises that we won't get weary or that we won't face an enemy or a giant. But he does say we can come to him and he will give us rest. He does promise to fill us with the power of his Spirit and that his joy will be our strength. He does remind us that the battle is not ours, but his. He does say that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of darkness in this life. And he does tell us again and again that we are totally loved by him. He calls us to follow him, and he calls us to trust him always. Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, the battle feels intense some days. We get tired and weary, weak and worn. Help us to remember that you will never leave us, that you are indeed our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. Remind us that the battle belongs to you, and whatever we're up against, we face with you. Help us to trust you more, to never waste time wrestling or fighting in our own strength. Please fill us afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit this day. Fill us with your joy. Fill us with your wisdom and discernment. Fill us with constant reminders that your presence will go with us and you will give us rest. Thank you that there's nothing we can do to make you love us more, and there's nothing that we can do to make you love us less. Thank you that our identity is that we are your children, called to follow Jesus. Give us the strength to surrender our wills to yours and guard our hearts and minds with your peace as we choose to trust you with our struggles today. In the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.